Our topic is mastering change, and I did look up what Ernest Holmes had to say about change. And the fascinating thing following the synchronicities this morning as I worked on this particular talk was that looking at the Concordance of the Science of Mind textbook, it took me to a discussion of change, and the change that was being discussed was actually the change of death and transition from the local perspective to the infinite perspective, which wasn't what I had in mind, but when I read it, it was brilliant. And it got me thinking about the mastering change could be ultimately creating a vision of how we experience many lives within this one life, that we are already many lives within one life. And Phil was talking earlier about looking at his perspective of change through his whole life, and I'm not sure you would put it in that way, but I know when I look back at my life, I've had many lives already within this life. I've had three marriages, I've lived in four regions of the country, I've had multiple careers in different areas, I've had lots and lots of different jobs, I've had different churches, I've had different friends, and the many different kinds of changes that have happened in my life gives me the sense that I've lived many lives within this one. And that hasn't always been true for all of humanity. It seems like those kinds of changes tend to be speeding up. And when they talk about educating children now, they say that they have to prepare children for multiple careers, and that they anticipate someone graduating from high school today might easily have 18 jobs in their lifetime. And preparing people to be lifetime learners and to accept and deal with change is a good thing. So Ernest Holmes' quote took me in a direction that I didn't expect to go this morning. And this is what he said. Nature will not let us stay in any one place too long. She will let us stay long enough to gather the experience necessary to the unfolding and advancement of the soul. This is a wise provision. For should we stay here too long, we would become too set, too rigid, too inflexible. Nature demands the change in order that we may advance. When the change comes, we should welcome it with a smile on the lips and a song in the heart. And so thinking about changing for many lives within this life and welcoming it with a smile on my lips and a song in my heart felt good. And then I went into the bathroom on my first floor where I happen to keep a book called The Fairy Oracle and the Fairy Cards, which always reminds me of Gail Renwick because she would spend long periods of time in the restroom when she came to visit my house. And so I picked the card for today from The Fairy Oracle, and I was amazed because the quote for the particular card I picked was almost like Ernest Holmes' quote. His quote started out with, "Nature will not let us stay in any one place too long." And the quote in the Fairy Oracle said, "Mama Nature is always up to something. No natural place is the same for two moments in a row. Life is about process, not stasis. We are process, not things. We constantly change, even when we resist, even when we think we are stuck." So that felt good, and that continues to make me think about how natural change is, that it is natural for us to change. So from there, I was picking up the materials that we might need for our exercises today, and I happened to pull out my treasure map, and something fell off it when I pulled it out. And I picked it up, and it was a little phrase that said, "What are you made of?" What are you made of? And as you think about changing your life within this life, the what you are made of is the divine substance, the God stuff. What you are made of is that infinite spirit that has that capacity to endlessly morph. At least that's my question. What am I made of? My answer really is I'm made of the divine. I'm made of God. And if I see myself as being made of God, I can perceive myself as able to handle whatever change happens to come along. So then as I sat there, a whole series of questions came to me. And I typed them up and you have them in front of you. If you think about being in the middle of a change and you want to find ways to think about it that feel better, the first question that came to me is, in what way can I perceive this change as right for me? And then in what way could this be an answer to a prayer or an asking of mine? I notice when I talk to my clients over time that very often the thing they're complaining about today is the answer to the prayer that they had 6 months ago. That their life has changed in a way that they asked, but not in a way that they anticipated. And it's fun to remember that the changes are in answer to our prayers and our askings, and that there will always be something about the change that will create a new prayer and a new asking. And in what way could this be the shortest route to where I most want to be if it's seen from a broader perspective, to actually look at what's happening from a bigger picture place? And then if you say, if it looks like an avenue is blocked to me or a door closed, where can I see a path or a door opening? Look for places that do feel good, and following up from that, where does my love flow most easily right now? What can I focus on right now that allows me to feel the truth of who I am? What can I do today to appreciate my life as it is today? Where can I focus where I do feel effective and appreciated right now? What if this is a change for the better? And finally, even if it doesn't look that way yet, what good can I see here that I can focus on now? So those were a series of questions that came to me that felt like they would be helpful in reminding me that I have many lives within this one, and that this is yet another life of mine that is unfolding through this change. And the other thing I wanted to share with you doesn't flow exactly, but it's so brilliant that it flows anywhere, I think. I had been talking to an internet friend of mine that I've never met in person, but who is a brilliant writer on the Abe list. And I, in the course of the letter to her, I had written that I felt somewhat flawed in flowing love right now. And she wrote back this most amazing letter to me that ended with this paragraph. "One more thing, dear beautiful Connie," she said. "You write you feel somewhat flawed in flowing love." She said, "Love is flawless, and it flows at all frequencies." It's one of the most brilliant sentences I've ever heard. Love is flawless, and it flows at all frequencies. It cannot not flow. You are perfect in your now flowing, and you are love. You are perfect in your love always, and I am grateful to receive. And I am so grateful that in my not knowing who I am sometimes, that I have people around me who know who I am and who can remind me of that essence of who I am. What I am made of is God, which is love, and that always flows. Mm-hmm. And that, for that, I am so grateful. So grateful. Thank you.